we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would love to see you out this coming Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We are going to be having a free breakfast that is available on Sunday morning. Starts at 9:30. It's going to have the full works there without the biscuits and gravy and without the potatoes, unless somebody comes up with an idea to bring that. But I don't think you'll go hungry. And so there's going to be fruit and pastries and eggs and breakfast meats and all sorts of stuff. That's going to be taking place from 9:30 till 10:15. And then we're going to enter into our Resurrection Sunday worship service. I'm going to be doing an illustrated message this week. The title of my message is Fake News versus Good News. Fake News versus Good News. And it's going to be a service I've never done before. And so I want to say thank you to my creative team who has helped me with this as I've been sharing what God has laid upon my heart. And we've all been kind of brainstorming and coming up with various ideas. And listen, it's a relevant topic. Fake news is a term that I had not heard much of until maybe last summer or last fall. But it is a truth that goes back a long, long time. You can go all the way back into the Old Testament and find people reporting things that weren't true. And people paying a high price for the fake news reports. And so if you want to find out about fake news versus good news, we want to invite you out Sunday morning, 10:30. And then we will be having no Sunday night service. We do not have a Wednesday service this week. So if you're listening, please take note. We are in preparation mode. We're in full-on preparation mode. And so I'm going to be meeting with my team tonight and working on getting everything ready so that people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ and give their heart to Jesus and ask him to be the Lord of their life. So there's a verse, if I can just real quickly share this. We're going to get into the word here in just a moment. Before I do that, let me say thank you to Creative AC Solutions. Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, Bill Andraic. And Bill is a good brother in Christ. His wife Heidi leads our worship. And here a few weeks ago, he was talking with somebody, and that person mentioned that they had put their faith in Jesus Christ, but they hadn't been baptized yet, and wanting to be baptized. And Bill picked up his phone, called me on my cell phone, and said, "Hey, you know, we've got a brother here that's wanting to be baptized. Do you think that you could come do that?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so we went over, and it was a beautiful day. We went down into the pool, talked with him, found out his testimony, and so it was a great day. So I tell you that to say Bill is not only a guy who works on air conditioners, but like our other sponsors as well, he has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's constantly talking to people. Even the sign on his vehicle mentions Jesus on there because he wants people to know Jesus. He really, really does. And so if he can be of assistance to you with your AC solutions, it's already topped 90 degrees in some parts of the state. And that's a little bit early. Most of the time, I don't remember us hitting 90s until May. But, you know, here we are, been hitting 90s since late March or early April. And you want to make sure that that AC is working for you. And so give Bill and Drake a call, 759-3284. So I want to share just a verse. I don't think I mentioned this at the first part as we were talking about the Spirit of the Lord God being upon us that we talk about all the time here in Isaiah chapter 61. But in the book of Haggai chapter 1, it says in verse number 14, "So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God." And so what it says here is the Lord stirred up the spirit of the men of the leadership, and the result of that spiritual stirring was people began to work on the house of the Lord. Up until this point in time, people were living in their nice houses, but the house of the Lord was being neglected. It seemed to have a lower priority. Now, I want to tell you, if you ever come to my house, please understand that you are not coming to a museum. It is not that we are ungrateful for our house. We are extremely thankful for our house. We know what a miracle that house is and how God has protected us in that house, and we're very thankful for it. We've been in that house for a number of years now, and we remember what it was like not living in that house. But if you come over to our house, you will probably find some projects that aren't done. You will probably find some weeds that need to be pulled and some areas that probably need to be painted. And it's not because we are not being good stewards of it. It is because that my wife and I and our family have always made sure that we took care of God's house. And so if there was a choice between cleaning our house or cleaning God's house, we always chose to clean God's house first, because there are more people that are coming to God's house that are going to be interacting with the opportunity of giving their life to Jesus. And so in Haggai's days, the role was reversed. People oftentimes would say, you know, I've got this situation with my house, and so I can't go to God's house. Now, I tell you, there was a Sunday morning, this was a long, long time ago, and I was the only one up, and I heard, while I was in the shower that morning, I heard this loud crash, and it's like, and this would have been right after Christmas, we'd just bought our very, very first computer. And, so I'm going back maybe 15 years or whatever. And all of a sudden I hear this loud crash, and I was like, that didn't sound good. And I had this, you know, this minor little problem, noticeable problem, but it was nothing life-threatening or anything, but it was a problem with the house. And I came out and I looked at the problem and I said, you know what? That problem's going to have to wait, because I'm going to go and I'm going to preach the word of God, and I'm going to preach the word that God has laid upon my heart, and it's going to touch and transform people's lives. And my mindset was, it must be a really important word if this problem is trying to hinder me from preaching it this morning. And so I just looked at it and I said, I'll deal with you later. And I went and we did deal with the problem later. But, you know, we want the house of God to be built up. As I'm talking with our leadership is saying, you know, the return of the Lord, we just believe that it is so close that we need to focus on building God's kingdom. And so I haven't announced this on the radio yet, but, at least I don't think I have. In June, we're going to be celebrating our 65th anniversary at Merit Assembly of God. And we're really excited about that. My wife and I, we've been there 24 and a half years. And back in the 1990s, there was a revival that broke out in the Panhandle of Florida, Brownsville Revival. And one of the things that marked that revival was there was something like 150,000 people that gave their heart to Jesus during the revival that lasted there 5 years. A lot of people want to talk about the manifestations. They want to talk about a lot of things that go on. I want to talk about 150,000 people made their way and stood in line for hours to get into the house of God, and 150,000 new names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life because of a revival that took place there. And so we are constantly praying for revival at Merit Assembly of God. And the evangelist that God used back in the 1990s up to 2000 was a minister by the name of Steve Hill. Steve Hill, he did a television program on one of the Christian networks that it was not geared towards just the edifying of the saints and things like that. It was about reaching the lost. Steve Hill had come out of a drug problem, out of Teen Challenge, and he had become a minister and an evangelist, and he wanted to see souls saved. And so one of the ministers said, you know, when he preaches, you don't hear a lot of theology, but you do stay clean. And so he went to be with the Lord several years ago, but his wife has picked up the mantle of the ministry and has carried that on. Her name is Jerry Hill, and Jerry Hill is going to be with us June the 10th and June the 11th for our Refresh 2017 conference. And so that is going to take place at Merit Assembly of God June 10th, a Saturday night, so that people from other churches that want to come can come. And then June 11th is going to be our official 65th anniversary celebration service. And so we wanted to let you know about that. We want God to stir up the spirit of the pastors and the spirit of the deacons and the Sunday school teachers and the people sitting in the church. We want God to move by his spirit and stir up the body of Christ so that work on the kingdom of God can be built. Jesus was 12 years old and he said, "Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And so I think we need to not be kicking that can down the road, hoping somebody else is going to come to do it, but be praying, "God, would you stir up my spirit so that I would have a burden for the work of the Lord?" So Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is the fulfillment of this passage that we have been looking at in Isaiah chapter 61. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he, Jesus, closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" So I want you to see that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of that passage in Isaiah chapter 61. But the Spirit of the Lord God needs to be upon us as well. As we've talked about before, Jesus was not the first, nor was he the last, that it says that the Spirit of the Lord God came upon him. And so you and I, we have the same mission, if you will, and that is to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. We have that responsibility, and so we want the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us in the same manner. Now, in verse number 31, it says, from that meeting in the synagogue, "Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, "What a word this is! For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And so I want you to know that there is the Spirit of the Lord God. But if we do not avail ourselves of the Spirit of the Lord God, there are unclean spirits or demonic spirits that are talked about over and over in the Word of God. Some people want to say, well, that's just ancient mythology. Look, if you have ever been around as many people as I have, then you will realize that there is a very real devil. Evil is not a fictitious concept. Evil is a reality. And I want you to know that godliness is also a reality. And we need to choose which spirit is going to have the authority to speak into our lives. Our bodies, according to Romans, used to be slaves of unrighteousness, but now they are to be used as instruments of righteousness. Whom will you serve? Who will you serve? I don't know about you, but if there's a spirit that wants to heal me and another that wants to hurt me, I want to choose the one that wants to heal me. If there's one who wants to make me a captive and the other one wants to set me free, I want the one that is going to bring liberty into my life. If the one is going to work for my good and the one is going to work for my harm, I want the spirit that is going to work for my good and operation in my life. It seems like a no-brainer. But the devil is a liar, and he has so deceived our society that society has believed the concept that God is this evil, mean, hateful entity that is just looking to steal all the joy out of our life. And the opposite is the truth. The devil is a liar. God is the truth. And in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, even life, evermore. So the Spirit of the Lord is really where we need to be submitting ourselves. In fact, it says, if you will submit to God, you will resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, a friend of mine told me he had read a book, and it said something like this in the book. I didn't read the book. I can't tell you the name of the book. I don't know the name of the book. But he said this. We were having this discussion. He said, "Bob, every time in the scriptures where a demonic spirit is manifest in the presence of Jesus, the demonic spirit left defeated." And I want you to know that it is not a close contest. In one passage, a demon says, my name is Legion, or our name is Legion, for we are many. And that legion left at the command of one man, the Son of God, Jesus. And so this demon, now I do like to point this out, because there are a lot of people who think that if they're going to come to church, that they're going to find nothing but perfect people, nothing but whole people, and that they're not going to encounter people that have any problems. I want you to see that when you look in Luke chapter 4, as he's in the synagogue in Capernaum, that this man possessed by an unclean demonic spirit was actually sitting in the synagogue. And so not everybody who's in the house of God is got their heart right with God. I just need to let you know that, because If you are coming out of sin and you come into the house of God, you might think that everybody's got their act together, but a lot of times many people don't. And I have discovered this. The devil is not too intimidated by a church that is staying inside the four walls of the church and just trying to maintain their territory. But the devil is extremely agitated whenever the Spirit of God rises up within us to do the work of God, and all of a sudden we are going to plunder the kingdom of darkness and populate the kingdom of heaven. All of a sudden the devil realizes, oh no, they have finally learned that there is authority and power in the name of Jesus Christ, and that if they will submit to God and resist the devil, that I've got to flee. I cannot stand in that presence. And so here this man is. He's sitting in church. He hears the word of God, and he says, "Did you come to destroy us? Did you come to destroy us?" Now, I want you to know that Jesus did not come to destroy the man, but the scriptures make it very clear that Jesus came to destroy the devil, and another passage says he came to destroy the works of the devil. So I want you to know Jesus came to make an impact on this world. I was reading a newsletter, and I don't remember who the quote was attributed to, but it said something like this: no person has the right to pass through this life without leaving it in a better condition after he got through it than it was when he got here. Okay? And so Jesus came to make his mark on humanity, if you will, by plundering the kingdom of hell, by plucking people out of the eternal destruction. He came to seize the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Jesus, this week that we are celebrating, it is a week of victory. It is a week of spiritual victory. It is a week of physical victory. It is a week of emotional victory. It is not just temporal, but it is eternal. And so I pray that Jesus would be the Lord of your life. So this person said, "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now I want you to see that he says, "I know who you are, but I don't want you controlling my life." There are a lot of people in our society right now who have heard of Jesus. Unfortunately, there's a massive amount of American population who no longer have heard of Jesus because a generation has grown up that did not know the Lord, and they did not teach their children the things of God. And so even though a massive amount of American society claims to be Christian, they might know about God. Some of them might know even a little bit about him, but they don't know him as Lord and Savior. And so knowing God and having him as your Savior and your Lord, those are really two different things. A lot of people have intellectual knowledge, head knowledge, but they don't have experiential knowledge with him. And so we want to make sure that every person in Brevard County has the opportunity to have a gospel presentation that they can understand, that will be spoken in a language that will be able to communicate to them that Jesus is the lover of their soul and he died to set them free. So Jesus rebuked him, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the man had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and it did not hurt him. Then all were amazed and spoke among themselves, What a word this is, for with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." Let me just say this. In Luke chapter 13, there is a woman there, and it said that her affliction had gone on for 18 years, and it was because of a spirit of infirmity. And she was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. So I want you to know that the devil is not looking to edify your life. He's looking to distort it, to hinder it. He has no good intentions for you. He's okay withdrawing for a little while in order to have an eternity where you're just as miserable as he is. I was thinking of this again on Sunday, a little over a week ago as I was preaching. And that is this, that if I were to try and live underwater, I would not be able to live very long because my body was not designed to function in that environment. I was created to function as a inhabitant of the land, taking in oxygen. That's what I was designed to do. On the same end, if you took a fish and you took that fish out of the water, that fish would not be able to survive out of the water very long because of the environment that it was created to live in. Now, I want you to know something. You were created in the image of God. Before sin, before Adam and Eve sinned, you and I were, we had the potential of living the perfect life. But we were never intended, we were never designed to live with a spirit of infirmity or a demonic spirit controlling our life because we were created in the image of God. You were created to live in the presence of God. A lot of people think that hell is going to be a place of great festivities, and that's where all the cool people are going to be hanging out, and there's going to be a great deal of partying going on down there. And I want you to know, nothing is further from the truth. You see, I've been with people who everything that they had within them was struggling for their next breath. And yet breathing is something you and I take for granted all the time. And those people, I've known people who've had lots of money, and those people would spend all their money in the world for just a few more days of living on this life. I want you to know today, you were created by God, not to be controlled by unclean or demonic spirits or spirits of infirmity, but you were created to live in the presence of God. And I don't want to shortchange myself. I don't want to try and live in an atmosphere I wasn't designed to thrive in. I pray that this resurrection season, that you will say yes to God's plan for your life, and that is living with your face in His Word, living with your ear tuned to His voice, living with God being in the very midst of you. I don't know about you, but Jesus in the first part of chapter 4 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," and things are getting ready to change around here. And then later on in chapter 4, a man with a demonic spirit has that spirit cast out of him, and he gets to live in liberty. I want you to know Jesus is the same for you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."